sentence financial advisor emails that won't make you sound like a teenager. Hey, what's up, party people? It's me, Sarah G, with the Smack, and I'm back. I am a CFA charter holder, and I used to be a financial advisor. On this podcast, I provide non-BS-oriented, straight-up views on LinkedIn and other financial advisor marketing topics. You can't get this anywhere else, people. So if that's of value, then please subscribe. And if not, then please leave this podcast right now. There is so much useless crap on the subject of financial advisor emails. And I myself have been on the receiving end of some of these. Here are some email sequences you can use when you're contacting somebody for the first time to try to get them to be your client. What is the objective of an introductory email? I want to be clear, these are not follow-up emails and these are not client emails. These are prospecting emails for when you're contacting somebody the first time cold. What should the objective be of an introductory email? I'm going to tell you what it should not be. The objective should not be to get the meeting with one click, to tell your life story, to tell your professional story, or to try to generate demand, to try to convince somebody that they need you. All right, that's too much of a stretch. And that's what the mistake is that a lot of people make, because there's a lot of bad guidance out there about this. If somebody doesn't know you, or maybe they've heard of you, or they're an acquaintance or whatever, they don't really know you that well. The time to develop the relationship is not through a one-shot email. It should not be through text sent through a phone. Okay? Should not be that way. So what is the goal of it? Why send the email in the first place? Is there no hope? No, there is hope. If you do it the right way, here's what the goal for the email should be. The outcome you want: to get them to respond, to get their attention, to get them curious, to change their pattern of consciousness so that with the next email, you can open them up a little tiny bit more and more and more and more and more over time, right? See, it's just like a dividend stock. It accrues a little bit over time. Okay, now, they may not respond to the email the first time that you email them. A lot of times, if the person doesn't know you, they might not be sure that you are not a scammer who's trying to get them to invest in some business overseas or something like that. Okay, we've all gotten these ridiculous spam emails. So what you've got to do is you've got to look at it as a sequence of three emails. And like I said, they're probably not going to respond the first time if they don't know you and it's completely cold. So let's start with what the email should actually look like. How should be formatted? What are some guidelines for that? Okay, let's start there. The email should be two sentences long. I've written in depth about my two sentence rule. It applies to most digital communications that you would use: text messages, emails, LinkedIn messages, Facebook messages, certain parts of your website. I see people going on and on their websites about nothing and ain't nobody reading it, right? Even with elevator pitches, you probably are doing an elevator pitch in person and saying it verbally, but you might be doing it. And if you're writing it, it should be two sentences long. And even if you're saying it, it should be two sentences long. The main premise behind my two sentence rule, and I'll put the link in the notes to this podcast if you're not familiar with it. And if you are familiar with it, you should probably review it because it's very useful and you can never two sentence well enough. When you really get it down, it's very powerful and it can save you a lot of time. Always speak in two sentences when you are able to do that, okay? So the two sentence rule: the first sentence clarifies information And then the second sentence asks a question, or if correct in the instance, incites the prospect to take a specific action. Now, I don't want you to nudge them to take the action too early, because then you can blow the whole thing. There are three parts to developing a relationship digitally. One is the introduction. That's what we're talking about. These are introductory emails. The second one is the transition, when you're going to transition them from the introduction to the close of the email communication, which is basically taking them off of email and having a meeting with them. All right. If you open the email sequence correctly, to close it wouldn't be that hard. The issue a lot of people make is they skip over the transition stage, which is development of the curiosity and the intrigue and giving them sufficient motivation to want to say yes when you eventually say, let's take this conversation offline. The mistake that a lot of people make is they go right from the beginning, which is kind of rapport building and asking them questions so that you can seek information that you can then use to transition. They skip right from the introduction to the conclusion of the sequence. There's no transition, all right? And it's very jolting for the prospect. Now, you may be lucky and they may go with it anyways, but a lot of times they won't. That is the biggest mistake that people make in this kind of a scenario, is that they don't transition properly. They do not transition the person. And that's because you have to slow down, you have to put your agenda on hold, and you have to ask sincere questions that allow you to understand the person. Understanding, what a novel concept. I know it's not going to get your quota satisfied instantaneously, but in the long term, you want to make the person say, this person understands me and asked questions that other people didn't and took time to think and seemed to be really interested and paid attention to this detail about my life and researched and knew this about me or that about me, because that's going to make them want to give you the chance to keep talking. And when they're able to do that, that's where the development of the trust comes in. But you have to be quiet and you have to let them talk and you have to do your homework. And if the homework can't be done, if there's no information about them or they're hesitant to talk, then you have to do better about asking the question. You're only as good as the questions you ask, about asking the question that will get them to do it. And you, in my sequences, I say, try three times. If you're not getting anywhere after three messages, you probably should table it for a while. I've written all about the two sentence rule and how this applies to digital communications in my blog about financial advisor LinkedIn messages, which is also attached to the notes of this podcast. I also have a book called 47 Financial Advisor LinkedIn Messages. We are not talking about LinkedIn messages in this instance. We are talking about emails, but that book is also relevant. A lot of the philosophy and a lot of the science behind two sentence communications, like I said, it applies to text, emails, LinkedIn messages. Okay, it's universal. 47 Financial Advisor LinkedIn Messages on my website, saragrillo.com. Let's talk about how to format a financial advisor email. Must be two sentences long, like I already said. Must have an email signature. And make sure that you include the signature on all the reply emails. A lot of times people put their full signature on the initial email, and then for subsequent emails, the signature is not included. This drives me crazy. There's nothing worse than when I need to call somebody about something and I have to fish around for the original email that they sent me 5 years ago in order to get their phone number. It's annoying, all right? So your email signature, your phone, website, whatever compliance wants you to have there in terms of disclaimers, this email should have a catchy subject line, and it shouldn't sound like clickbait. It shouldn't have spam filter words such as free, money, cash, no fees. Look them up online if you want to know what the spam filter trigger words are. It has to be written in a font that's large and dark enough to read easily. Blogs are notorious for, by the way, website blogs, are notorious for being written in small text that is not dark enough. And while everybody's health situation is different, if you are targeting people that are aging, that are elderly, or that are getting there, and it's nothing to say that visual challenges can't happen to anybody at any age, unfortunately, but eyesight does tend to deteriorate over time, it would behoove you to make sure that your email font is dark enough and that your website font is dark enough and large enough. Email tone should be humble and unassuming. This will separate you from all the other pompous jerks out there who are assuming that the person is just sitting there waiting to drop everything and respond to some email from somebody who's trying to sell them whole life insurance or a variable annuity. All right? Humble, unassuming, goes pretty far. It'll also make you seem a lot more sincere and like you're a real person. No attachments, PDF files, downloadable documents, or videos. You cannot barf on the person in the initial communication that you send to them. And I know all of the marketing materials that your marketing people create are very exciting to you, but they did not ask for that. And you're just kind of thrusting it onto them. It's a little bit of an offense. And I mean, I'm against PDF files and downloadable documents anyways in an email, in a prospecting situation. I don't know how far you're ever going to get with that. These marketing PDFs full of crap and garbage about, here's our 10-step process for blah, 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 blah. Oh, sorry. I'm getting stressed out just even thinking about this. No PDF files. Okay, they're awful to begin with, and no one's going to want to download it. And that also is a thing that is going to make them trust you less or make them on edge, because they're going to be like, oh my gosh, does this have a virus in it? Is this malware? Is this going to poison my whole computer? Lastly, try to avoid yes or no questions if possible. Now, I know some of my opinion on that is, in a digital situation, I think, yes, when someone doesn't know you, it is better to avoid yes or no questions. Now, financial advisor email template sequence, here is an example. So I've put this into three parts. This is a sequence of introductory emails that you could use. Email number one. So in the first email, you're going to set the prospect up for the transition by opening the dialogue. You want to make sure that you are humble as heck here. It should be at its highest level. The main goal is to get attention and get a response. Again, the goal is not to get the meeting with the first email, right? So let's, for example, say that you're calling on business owners. And I love to use examples of calling on business owners because all of us listening to this presumably are business owners, probably, right? That we all want attention for our businesses. So there's a lot of juicy details you can find out about business owners over the internet. Some are more open than others, but generally, there's a lot of even the basic information on a business owner, you should be able to get it, right? So subject line, congratulations on the business award. Praise is one of the ways. There's a variety of different subjects you can approach somebody with that are going to make them more open to you. And I've detailed those in other writings on LinkedIn messaging. You could check the blogs on my website, saragrillo.com. So here would be the text of the email, something like this. Don't use their name, first of all, like Ziomara. It was great to, blah, blah. Okay, because it just sounds too salesy. I know you're supposed to make it personal and say their name and everything, but the message and the wording is personal. You don't actually have to call them out by name. It was great to see another Vanderbilt alumni in the Cleveland Business Owners Digest 2022 awards. How did you get from Nashville to the Hall of Fame for business? So notice two sentences here. One, praise, celebration, two, a question. I'm not talking about whole life insurance. I'm not talking about I'm a financial advisor. I'm talking about them. Them, not you. Them, not you. Them, not you. Them, not you. All right? I'm saying it to make it very clear that if you want to get, you want to maximize the chances of getting a response, the communication has to be about them, something related to their life and not you. The best way to get someone's attention is to cite an observation that is 100% about them. So let's say they don't respond. You have to repeat an effort like email number one. Again, you could repeat it 2 times. If they're still not responding, then best to get out of there. Just bounce. Okay, email number two. Now that let's say that they respond back, which I would say there's at least a 50-50 shot that they would respond to that, even if they don't know you, right? Email number two. So now you got their attention. Just get them talking. Remember, gently, humble, ease into it. They respond back and say, oh, well, thank you. I had a lot of help from my wonderful team that I built over the last 20 years. Next email. Yes, I was reading. It's such an inspirational story. So what's your next step here on in? Okay. Keep it brief. They already responded back. Give them something that they want to talk about. Now you're, okay, so they let's say they respond back to this email you sent, the second email. Now you're going to go for number three. Here you're going to go to try to close the sequence. Now, hopefully you've garnered information through this dialogue. You may have to stay in the transition. If they did not give you enough information about what matters to them, all you are looking for is something that matters to them, because then that can give you clues about subjects that they might be interested in discussing related to what you do as a financial advisor in some way. Financial planning, cash flow budgeting, risk management, insurance risk analysis, portfolio management, succession planning, any of those things, exit planning for their business, right? Now, here you're going to try to take, let's say that you've got enough rapport built up and you have enough information and knowledge. And you see that they're on LinkedIn and that they're active. Now, one of these people that's on LinkedIn with no profile photo and 3 connections is probably not going to be a very good person to propose this to. So do your research and design a call to action that they are likely to say yes to. Text. Would love to stay in touch on LinkedIn, as you may enjoy some of my newsfeed discussions about business owner financial tips. Hint, hint, I'm a financial advisor, right? And they should know that because, like I said, your email should say it in the signature. All right. Last sentence, okay to connect. So again, the third email. Would love to stay in touch on LinkedIn, as you may enjoy some of my newsfeed discussions about business owner financial tips. Okay to connect? Question mark. That's it. All right. So now I realize I'm painting an ideal picture. Not every sequence is going to go like this. This just serves as a guideline for how to approach the situation. Is this difficult? Heck yeah. But once you learn how to master these cold reach outs and these cold communications, it's really going to open up a lot of possibilities for you. And you're going to have to deal with a lot of rejection and a lot of being ignored. Get over it. All right. There's nothing wrong, if you do this correctly, with getting rejected, ignored, or otherwise failing in any of these email attempts. Again, if you're doing it properly, I mean, if you're going to go out there and I have heard advisors do this, go out and talk to people about how you just read about how they IPO'd and you would love to sit down and have coffee with them. And you've been an advisor for 25 years. I mean, I get contacted by these people all the time that want me to write these emails for them. That is shameful. How dare you? How dare you be so presumptuous to assume that some person that you never paid attention to before and that you're now interested in all of a sudden because they got rich should want to pay attention to you. That's so presumptuous. Shame on you. Shame on you, any of you. And I know that, yeah, that's your job as a financial advisor and you don't want to waste half your life talking to people where nothing is ever going to come of it. Okay, financial advisors, if you really want to go in there and go hard and go in there for the slam dunk like LeBron James, then you'd better be the LeBron James of financial advising. You'd better be out there in the whatever it is, the garbage media publication, 40 under 400 or whatever the list are that they publicize. And you'd better have a team of like 25 people and you'd better be the 30-year veteran and have your game on point, all right? All of that. Better be, all right? Because that's how tough it is going to be to try to impress them with that. This is a much better approach for you, for your ego, gentler. And I'm saying these things because I feel that this is the way that people should be treated. They should be treated as human beings. They shouldn't just be treated as a set of digits on an income statement. So think about that, financial advisors, when you're writing your emails, okay? All the blogs and the information I mentioned in this podcast are on my website, on the blog about financial advisor emails on my website, saragrillo.com. That's all I got for now. I'll catch you in the next one.